And there we are, we're on air. The podcast is with you once again. The RTE Politics staff gathered here in the bowels of Leinster House. With me is Juliette Gash, Fiacra O'Kinney and Sandra Hurley. And we're going to be talking...
Can I just interrupt? Could we make some requests for our podcast studio here? Yeah. Kind of like the TDs.
Yes.
We have a few ideas.
Would you like a lazy recliner chair?
My chair could be more comfortable, but I'm thinking more a fridge for certain types of drinks. Certainly some refrigeration is necessary.
Nice, some sparkling water.
And in light of the very good weather we're having, I suppose it's a justifiable request. I'm not quite sure who we make that request to, but we'll make a note, and hopefully they'll be listening, Sandra, as well.
Good.
So, on that note, well done. It's been a very busy week in Leinster House, I think. An awful lot of politics, not always necessarily in the chamber, Sandra. I mean, in terms of the committees, there was an awful lot with the committees finally back, finally having some public hearings.
Yes, the Housing Committee on Tuesday heard from city and county local managers. There was a lot of interest in that because the local authorities, there's definitely been discussion about where is the housing shortfall coming from? Are the local authorities doing their job and why are some moving forward faster than others? Then today we had the Children's Hospital Development Board at the Public Accounts Committee. Yesterday at the Finance Committee, we had Brendan McDonough of NAMA. So it's good to see the committees back. Some of them are still specialising in quite long hearings. PAC sat for several hours today, but I think they eventually wrapped up around 3 o'clock.
I suppose you could say that of those hearings, it's exactly the type of subject that has been discussed at these committees during the last government, during the last Dáil as well, Fiacra, isn't it? I mean, we're talking again about impediments to housing, impediments to the children's hospital, delays.
And it's probably something that's been missing the last few months in Leinster House and in political debate, like that real kind of focused. That focus kind of handbags at dawn, maybe in some cases in committees. So, you know, as you said, we had the housing issue. So as Sandra was saying, on Tuesday at the Housing Committee, we had the City and County Managers Association raising the fact that, look, the government keeps on talking about land banks, but they're saying, OK, but you're not kind of servicing them properly in terms of water, in terms of electricity. So they're not of as much use at the moment unless you do that. And then today, obviously, on the Children's Hospital, we have an issue that, you know, we've heard this song before. This time that song became particularly focused on Taoiseach Simon Harris, the opposition, so Piers Doherty of Sinn Féin and Aidan Toohey's Padraig Tobin, being very clear.
That's in the Dáil Chamber itself as well.
Yeah. Well, in the Dáil Chamber as well, but blaming Simon Harris for that particular issue. And at the same time, the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board was in the PAC explaining that, look, for the 15th time in the last 5 years, the conclusion, so the completion of the National Children's Hospital's building work has been delayed again. Now, this is something that, of course, we've heard 15 times now and we're hearing again. And this is really kind of energising maybe political debate in Leinster House.
Yes, yes. Juliette, you were across that committee this morning. You were hearing what the National Paediatric Board had to say.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit of flavour of what was
Yeah, so David Gunning is the chief officer of the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board, and they're responsible, I suppose, for getting the hospital to completion, which the timeline of which is slipping back again and again and again. It was confirmed that it won't be substantially completed until September now. The previous date had been June. And the difficulty with that is that once it's substantially complete, it takes 9 months before it's ready to open its doors to patients. So that'll be June 2026. Now, it was brought up by Padraig Tobin. He reminded us that Leo Varadkar had said previously that barring an asteroid, the hospital would be open by 2017. So we've just had so many delays on this, and you can see the frustration among the members. Now, I suppose...
Now, Padraig Tobin was in the Dáil Chamber.
Yeah, of course. I said that.
He wasn't at
PAC. No, it spilled over into leaders' questions because it is such a massive issue. People want to see this children's hospital built. It will be extremely expensive and extremely... you know, world class, as they keep saying, when it's ready, but when is it going to be ready? And there wasn't even full confidence that it will open.
I was about to ask that. David Gunning was asked, was he confident in
this?
Well,
he was asked, did he have faith in the contractors? To which he said no. Now, later on, he did say that, yes, the hospital can be substantially completed by September 30th of this year. But the problem is that according to the Paediatric Hospital Development Board, they're saying that the contractor is only sort of at 60% of where it said it would be. Mm. And in order to meet that target of September, it needs to be at 100%.
Right.
And so there is that gap between, you know, presence on site and what they're promising.
So essentially, until it's delivered, I suppose nobody's really going to be confident that it's actually delivered and completed.
No, absolutely not.
And what did the chairman of the committee, John Brady, had some fairly choice words for timely arrival of material for committee members.
He said that he wanted documents at least 48 hours beforehand, so that would give members a chance to, I suppose, to read them, to be familiar with them and to prepare their questions. And that didn't happen this time. And he said that timelines for this committee are extremely important. Now, timeline seems to be the issue of the day, the order of the day. But he did say he was frustrated by that. Not all documents came in on time. So he made that point.
So that's a signal to anyone else who's coming before the Public Accounts Committee over the next number of months.
Get your stuff in on time.
Get your homework done on time.
Absolutely.
Or you'll be in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sandra, you were obviously presenting the Leaders' Questions programme today, so you were watching Leaders' Questions very closely. And Simon Harris did become the focus when the issue of the Children's Hospital was raised, not surprisingly, because he was the Minister for Health at the time when the construction commenced.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's interesting to look at how the opposition focused on the Children's Hospital in the Dáil Chamber. They very much zoned in on what they see as Simon Harris's political weakness here. He was the health minister. He had oversight of the contract. In the words of Piers Doherty and Patrick Tobin, he signed the contract. Now, I think Simon Harris famously said during one of the pre-election debates he didn't actually sign the contract, but he certainly accepted responsibility as the sort of line minister for bringing that contract to cabinet and getting it finally agreed by government. So this is a running sore, essentially, for government. Time and time again, we've seen these protracted delays. It is also clear that there are, I think, over 2,000 outstanding claims of the 3,000 plus that have been lodged that still need to be settled. So this price tag at the moment of 2.2 billion euro, you could certainly say that is going to be higher. On the opening day, yes, we will have all politicians turning out for the official opening, cutting the ribbon. You can picture it just now. But it's taken a long time to get here. And of course, the lesson also is, hopefully they're going ahead with the maternity hospital. Some work has begun, but are they just going to make the same mistakes again?
And you'd be wondering about the cost of the maternity hospital already. The predictions are indeed the value of the bill has been said to have increased exponentially from when they first mooted it.
Yeah,
Fiacre, you were listening to that as well today. The Taoiseach did nevertheless say he takes responsibility, but today he said at the end of all this, it'll be a world-class facility. It'll be something that we have, the like of which we've never seen in Ireland, and it'll be an end of, I think he said, parents sleeping on hard floors in the other children's hospitals alongside their sick children.
Yeah, and I think this is something that, you know, well, it is something that governments and previous governments have repeatedly raised on this issue. I remember Leo Varadkar saying this 10 years ago. I remember Micheál Martin saying this a few years ago, and Simon Harris obviously saying it as well. And it is an important point to make, to look, that the facility is needed. When the facility is fully built and fully open, it will hopefully be a world-class service. But Piers Doherty did respond to that in the Dáil today when Simon Harris did say that. And he said, nobody's arguing that it won't. People are arguing that the cost overruns are exponential, and that 15 delays in 5 years is quite a record. Now, just to point out as well, this didn't start in 2020. This actually started in 1993. Like, I was doing the maths earlier with the guys.
Yes, first mooted in 1993.
In 1993, first mooted when I was 11. In 1993, I was still in primary school when this was first suggested.
And we won't say your age, but you definitely won't qualify for the Children's
exactly.
Hospital now, people.
No.
The government has been under a lot of pressure in terms of health. We know we're expecting the report on hip dysplasia tomorrow, I think. That's the expectation at the moment as well. But also the assessment of needs has been something that we've been talking about all week as well, Juliet. And that's been something that the government have kind of held their hands up on this one as well. But it's all part of a pattern, it would seem.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, we've over 15,000 children waiting more than the statutory 6 months as laid down under the Disability Act for their assessment of need. The HSE itself has acknowledged that number could be 25,000 by the end of this year, waiting longer than 6 months for an assessment of need. Now it looks like they're going to change the criteria and shorten the period, but whether that's a good idea, whether
that's
still
the period of assessment. Because
exactly.
The period of assessment, something I didn't know, can be up to 90 hours.
Yeah,
before
so
a child
between
is
30 and 90.
Assessed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're doing all these, I suppose, psychological and educational assessments to categorise a child's needs. So it is difficult. It does require qualified psychotherapists. So, you know, it's a very expert assessment. But if they reduce the length of time it takes, people are questioning, will it be as thorough? And there's lots of different messages coming out from the government as to whether, you know, that's the right approach. Obviously, the opposition saying that it's not the right approach and that they need to hire more people. But it's very hard to see how quickly this can be resolved when it is such an intractable problem and it's growing all the time.
Yeah, and I think the Taoiseach said in the Dáil, in one of his replies to this on Leader's Questions, that a third of therapists' time is spent on the assessments as opposed to doing therapy.
And that's it. But the thing is,
once you
get your assessment, then you are hopefully going to get some services. But the problem is the waiting lists there are huge as well. Mm. So,
and the tests are a threshold, I think, to start getting services. Not all services, but a lot of the services. So that's why it's so important.
Certainly access to education, I think that is the key point. Now, Norma Foley at a media conference earlier this week said that they were looking at that, that there were ways. She wanted to remove the requirement for the assessment of need to access certain state services. So she mentioned the domiciliary care allowance that has already been changed. And she's looking at things. There's some suggestion it might help you get housing, and she wanted to refine that and make sure that it wasn't a sort of requirement or it's seen as beneficial to access social housing. But I do think the government has been vague in some of its responses here, because it has been hinting that it's going to bring in some sort of legislative change. It's not definitively saying it's going to bring in legislation, and it's also not clear what the legislation is going to do. Mm. So is it going to dilute the number of hours that an assessment is? Is it going to change the current legal requirement that a child is supposed to have this assessment within 6 months? None of that is clear at the moment, and it seems more at an embryonic stage because they don't seem to have concrete proposals on how they're going to get through all of this.
The government were, I would imagine, under acute pressure from the fact that there was a 14-year-old disability campaigner outside the gates for 50 hours this week.
Yeah, not a good sight for the government. Cara Darmody and her father, Mark, up from Tipperary. She's been campaigning for her two brothers who have autism, and she's become a sort of a broader advocate as well, and a very articulate advocate, it has to be said. And I was speaking to them yesterday. They have concluded their sort of demonstration now. And they met the Taoiseach yesterday morning, Micheál Martin, in government buildings, and they weren't impressed with what he had to say. They both felt that he had come forward with sort of empty promises. Mm. Again, they want an emergency declared. They want to see real urgency here. And they just felt that they were hearing the same thing over and over again.
It's probably impossible to win in a scenario like that if you're on the government side, because no matter what you say, you're not able to immediately fix the problem that 15,000 children are facing.
Well, that's exactly the problem that government has. I mean, government can say all the right things and can give the aspirational comments saying, look, yeah, we want to address this problem. We accept it is a problem. But in terms of the finer details of this, it's not just a click your fingers solution. And I think maybe that's what Micheál Martin might have been trying to get across in that meeting. But as you said, it's a very difficult point to get across, particularly when you have such a forthright young campaigner like Cara Darmody and her father, Mark Darmody, who've been outside for 50 hours. It's a very emotive, very clear issue and very clear image that they're raising.
Mm-hmm. What about the argument that's put forward sometimes that there simply aren't the people, there aren't the occupational therapists, there aren't the support workers there for this sector, and that's part of the problem here.
Exactly. Julia. I mean, the government has been funding, I suppose, the private sector so people can get assessments faster. But the difficulty is that people are moving from the HSE and setting up private practice, and then, I suppose, almost competing with their former colleagues to perform these assessments more quickly. And opposition TDs have spoken about the red tape for getting these people hired faster, and that's a problem as well. Interestingly, the figures provided by the HSE to Sinn Féin TD Claire Curran showed that there has been an increase in the number of assessments showing no disability in the past 10 years. It's gone from 15% to 26%. So people are getting assessments, or being suggested, being told they should get assessments, where perhaps maybe an assessment wasn't necessary. And that is one thing that the government is trying to communicate, that having the piece of paper that says you've had the assessment of need isn't a prerequisite for accessing services. And sometimes that communication piece isn't getting through. Mm-hmm. And perhaps they've acknowledged that maybe there's work to be done there, because there are some areas of the country where there are less there's less demand for these assessments.
Very good. I should have said at the outset, by the way, yourpolitics@rte.ie, if anyone wants to share their views with us on the podcast, yourpolitics@rte.ie. We'd be delighted to hear from you. One of the other issues that has been on the boil, and it has become very acute and very distressing over the last couple of weeks from what we've been seeing on our television screens, is, of course, Gaza. And the government have had two particular issues to deal with here. One was that shooting incident in Jenin yesterday, where there was Irish diplomats at that scene when the Israeli Defence Forces fired some shots. And then at the same time, the Occupied Territories Bill is something that has been on the go all the time as well. On that, Sandra, on the Occupied Territories Bill, Simon Harris has indicated that there is now going to be progress. We are going to see this very quickly.
Well, it seems he's bringing a memo to Cabinet on it next week. Now, I think that's getting sort of the official go-ahead to draft the bill. I don't know that we're getting...
Would that be heads of the bill, though, when he brings a memo?
I don't think we're getting heads of the bill next Tuesday. That would be the outline of the bill. I think it's probably the permission to draft at this point. But he is saying that it's going to go to an Oireachtas committee ahead of the summer recess. He is trying to indicate that there's some urgency around this. I think it's been interesting that he's also saying that it is more impactful. He is trying to really push this point. It is more impactful for Ireland to move at an EU level on trade rather than this going it alone on the Occupied Territories Bill, even though that is something that has really caught fire in Ireland. And it's a bigger move that there is now that review of the trade relationship between the EU and Israel. And remember, of course, that for Israel, the EU is its single largest trading partner. Mm-hmm. And if trade sanctions of some form are brought forward, and that is the view of the Irish government, that that is now possible, then that could actually hurt Israel in a real way and in a much broader way than the Occupied Territories Bill. Yet domestically, I think the focus politically from all the opposition is on the Occupied Territories Bill. That's probably not going to change, though.
Yes, and it did strike me, because I did a bit of reading around this. The Occupied Territories Bill obviously pertains only to occupied territories. It isn't going to have any impact whatsoever in Gaza, because there aren't any settlements in, settlements is what I'm talking about. So if there's no settlements in Gaza, the Occupied Territories Bill won't make a huge difference there. I suppose the value in this is that it's hugely symbolic.
Yeah, I think it's really the symbolism of this. And as Sandra was saying, that it's really it's grabbed attention over the past year and more in Ireland, the Occupied Territories Bill. So I do think it's a symbolic step. I do think as well, and Taoiseach Micheál Martin has been pretty clear saying that, look, again, as Sandra was saying, that we should also double up on this in terms of the focus on the EU-Israel trade agreement and having international support. There's on potentially suspending that while review is taking place and what action takes place in the future, whether that continues. Now, those are big steps from government, but, you know, in politics, it's not always inches, it's miles, and that's how government would see it. But from the opposition, they're saying, well, there's other matters. Israeli war bonds were brought up by Sinn Féin. They're bringing a bill on this next week, so that's... bonds being sold through the Central Bank of Ireland, just through an international banking mm-hmm. process. Sinead Gibney of the Social Democrats bringing up the fact that there are perhaps military planes flying over Irish airspace, and just clarification on that. And obviously Labour as well saying that next week they want to bring a bill, which seems to have some support from government already, about the United Nations General Assembly and whether enough is being done by the Security Council of the United Nations mm-hmm. on the situation in Gaza. So it depends on which side of the fence you're looking at this. That
government would say they're saying an awful lot. Others will say, the opposition will say
government would say we're doing as much as we can, and opposition, perhaps understandably, both for domestic and international reasons, saying, well, you could do more.
And we've seen plenty of protests, pro-Palestinian protests outside Leinster House on a regular basis now. I suppose the government have been in the vanguard of some of these matters, though, certainly in relation to the EU-Israel association bill.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you compare Ireland to European neighbours, Ireland has without doubt done more, is more pro-Palestinian than other neighbours. But there are, I suppose, historical reasons for that, too. The difficulty is that there were election promises made that the Occupied Territories Bill would be passed, and it's in the programme for government. So it is a commitment that has been made, and people will say perhaps they voted for the government based on those promises. protests have been going on, not just outside the Dáil, almost weekly protests. There was tens of thousands of people protesting at the weekend. And this is a huge issue for a lot of people and for a lot of young people in particular. So it's not something that can be set aside by the government. I don't think they'll be let set it aside. And but yes, of course, this, things are happening at European level, and perhaps that's where a stronger a point can be made. And as we know, this association agreement is being reviewed. And,
yes, indeed. So Occupied Territories Bill will definitely be on the news agenda next week. The Defence Amendment Bill as well, which is looking at amending the triple lock, Sandra. That's also fairly controversial. And it looks like there's going to be a very intense campaign to resist those plans that the government are talking about there.
Yes, so we've had the publication of that bill. No surprises. It wants to remove the triple lock. It wants to remove the UN portion of it, and in some cases the Dáil portion of it as well. You remember, it's the UN agreement, the Dáil and the government. Mm-hmm. So we've seen the detail of that, but it is clear that there is a mobilisation, and from the from people in favour of arguing that this dilutes Ireland's neutrality. And I think that's where the nub of the argument is.
And that's what the question is, really, is it? I mean, you change the triple lock, does that mean you're changing neutrality?
Exactly. And the government says this is not a dilution of our neutrality in any way. Many groups, the opposition, I think most of the opposition, and then some civil society groups will come on board and be arguing the opposite, that this is a change to Ireland's position of neutrality, as we said before, something that people cherish, but it may not be well defined.
OK, well, it's all something, one of the many subjects that we'll be continuing to cover in the politics unit over the next coming days and the next coming number of weeks. So thanks very much for listening today. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, guys. And we'll talk to you anon.